morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. Darnetta Hunter here on behalf of the appellant, Mr. Stephen Jackson, who is present, Your Honors. And at this time, I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. May it please the court. Your Honors, this case is here today regarding the issue of summary judgment. The lower court in error granted summary judgment to the appellees with respect to the appellant's discrimination claim. We believe that this was done in error. Summary judgment should not be the stage where the lower court makes fact determinations, especially when we consider the standard for summary judgment. The district court erred in ruling that the record revealed no evidence of direct discrimination as it related to the appellant's claim under the laws for which we filed, when the circumstances are such that are in this case, presentable tribal issues were present and sufficient to pass the summary judgment stage. As it related to evidence of direct discrimination, in addition, there were no legitimate reasons for the appellant's actions, the appellee's actions, and they were pretextual. This case presented tribal issues sufficient to pass the summary judgment stage, especially as it relates to the pretextual analysis when viewing the circumstances in the light most favorable to the appellant, and many of the factors used in the analysis involved facts that weigh in favor of the appellant. And further, there were material facts in dispute. The record before this court shows that Mr. Jackson was a qualified applicant for the relevant position. There's no denying that. The record before this court also shows that there is a conflict or a dispute with respect to facts relating to the crux of the test for discrimination when considering the case law. For example, with respect to the standard that was used for scoring and for questionnaires, the record reflects and the argument shows that on the selected applicant who was actually hired, Ms. Kernan, she was actually hired for the position. There's a note in her interview questionnaires where it was noted that the answer was given to her or that someone helped at that time. In addition, the record before the court shows that the selected applicant who was selected over Mr. Jackson met with the person that did the hiring approximately a year before her initial interview took place. Also, to put things in further context,
how does that demonstrate discrimination?
It in and of itself does not, Your Honor, but when you combine it with the totality of the circumstances in this case, which includes inconsistencies relating to whether the postings are internal and external, with respect to the way that Mr. Jackson's qualifications were downplayed as opposed to the selected applicant receiving help during her interview, and you combine it with other facts on the record, it points to discrimination, or at the very least gets us beyond the point of summary judgment to have a trial on the merits, Your Honor. In addition to those facts, I would also point out for the court that former employees provided affidavits at the lower court level describing and explaining a culture of the department relating to the inconsistencies in hiring and specifically relating to their individual experience as it related to postings and internal postings and being looked over and then having a job be posted externally.
How does that evidence fit into the tests that were to apply to this case?
I think it fits into, there's a factor with respect to giving the proffered reasons by the defendant's credibility or credence. And I think that factor is impacted by employees and their individual experience as a whole and a combination. If the court is to consider that factor to determine whether or not it should give credibility and credence to the good faith of the defendants in this instance, I think that that credibility factor goes down when you consider that there's employees who are saying, hey, my experience was similar to that. And not only employees, in addition, Your Honor, in the record, the appellees, the depositions speak to the fact that non-minorities were not promoted to management positions at all prior to the filing of this case, Your Honor. So I think everything combined helps aid in determining the factors that would impact the court's ruling. And I think those things can be ironed out further during a trial. A lot of the things that were presented with respect to affidavits, depositions, and the pre and post documents relating to interviews and qualifications for this position, they're viewed differently by each side. And I think that the only way to get to the root of what the real facts are is to actually have trials on the issue. So I think in this case in particular, it was an error for the court to close this case out at summary judgment. And for those reasons, Your Honors, I am requesting that you would remand to allow this to proceed to trial. The record, the briefs on file do show and conclude, I guess, to me that we would need to remand and allow it to proceed on the merits, especially if we're looking at things with an inference drawn most favorably to the plaintiff as required by the standard.
Okay. Before you go, I have a question for you.
Yes, Your Honor.
So, as I understand it, the court made a finding that you made a prima facie case here under the McDonnell-Douglas test.
Yes, Your Honor.
That the burden then shifted to the employer and that the employer stated a neutral explanation. They said that they believed Kernan was more qualified for the position, which then shifted the burden back to you.
Yes.
Then our court, or the Supreme Court, has set out 11 different factors as it relates to evidence that you can put on to attack that neutral explanation, right?
Yes, sure.
And the first one is the issue of whether or not the explanation itself is on its face legitimate. Do you concede here that Kernan was at least equally qualified for the position as Mr. Jackson?
Your Honor, I think as far as a concession, I, from my perspective, I think at a base level they were both qualified. I don't know if I would say at least equally qualified, but I think they were both qualified applicants, Your Honor. And I don't think the case necessarily turns on that issue because of all the consistencies that is present in the case. But I would concede to that they were at least equally qualified to both vie for the position. But when you couple in all the other things that were added on top of it and everything else that's available on the record, there appears to be a discriminatory factor there, at least to get beyond the point of summary judgment.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel, and Mr. Jackson. I'm Sandra Connolly. I'm a deputy county attorney with Douglas County. I'm here on behalf of Douglas County and also the Douglas County Health Department. I would like to ask this court to affirm the decision of the district court, which did grant summary judgment in Douglas County's favor. Because there is no link between the decision to not hire Mr. Jackson and any discriminatory intent. Douglas County is entitled to judgment as a matter of law. What I would like to do is address some of the errors that have been brought by the appellant on appeal. First of all, the first error assigned is that there was no direct evidence of discrimination. The district court properly determined that there isn't any direct evidence. There's nothing in the record to link this specific hiring decision with racial discrimination against Mr. Jackson.
And we rarely have a case where there's direct evidence. Would you agree?
I agree.
And so then we go to the three-part test.
Yes, so the district court properly determined that and then moved into the three-part McDonnell-Douglas burden-shifting analysis. So the burden shifted back to Douglas County to provide a legitimate, non-discriminatory reason for its action, and it did. It found Ms. Kernan more qualified. She scored higher on the interview process. Both candidates are qualified. That's not even an issue before. We agree with that. And the court did, too. They acknowledged that. once Douglas County meets that burden of showing the legitimate non-discriminatory reason, the burden shifts back to Mr. Jackson to provide, to try to show that the reason given is pretext for discrimination, that the proffered reason was not legitimate, and actually it was they were trying to discriminate against him, and he cannot reach that. Both at the district court level and now before you, they are trying to have you jump to conclusions to connect dots, and there's no connection. When you look at the hiring process for this particular position, the district court did a well-reasoned comparative analysis between both candidates, looking at all of the interview scoring, looking at the qualifications on their applications, on their resumes, their work history, and basically lays out all of the reasons that would support Douglas County's decision, you know, legitimate basis for its decision to hire Ms. Kernan over Mr. Jackson.
So let me ask you, recognizing that direct evidence is very rare in these cases and that these are normally circumstantial evidence cases, her
yes.
position is we've put a lot of evidence in here that would suggest, at least creates an inference of discrimination here. I'd like you to focus on the affidavits, if you would, of Mohammed and Louster here. And tell me why you don't think those at least create some inference here based on their experiences with Douglas County.
Okay.
That there's a culture here.
Okay. I can speak directly to that. In regards to Ms. Muhammad, she had applied for an internal position. The position, she was the only applicant at that time. As the district court acknowledged, it's a common business practice to try to select the best candidate for her position. At that time, she was the only candidate, and the decision was made to pull the position and to relist it, hoping that more applicants would apply. In that case, Dr. Larry Figgs was actually in charge of that hiring decision and that hiring process. The appellant would like the court to ignore the fact that there are other minorities at the health department. Dr. Larry Figgs is African American, and he was handling the hiring decision for Ms. Muhammad. So she was disappointed that she was not able to get that position at that time, and she was asked to reapply for it when it was listed again. That hiring decision, they're trying to have you jump to the conclusion that that should be linked to Dr. Poor or Mr. Kelso, who were the ones that made the determination for Mr. Jackson. In regards to Ms. Loster's affidavit, she never put her name in for a management position. She actually says in her affidavit that there was just no opportunity for advancement in her position. She does not link it to race, and so I think that's determinative. Again, Mr. Jackson is trying to have you jump to conclusions that the information provided in Ms. Loster's affidavit should be linked to race, and she doesn't put that in her affidavit. So they're asking you to make inferences from the information and jump to conclusions. So we would offer that the information provided in both of those are not material to this particular case. In this instance, it's based on the hiring decision and whether the hiring decision was based on a racial animus, and there is no link to that. And the proffered reason provided by Douglas County is legitimate, it's non-discriminatory, and there even with those affidavits, Mr. Jackson would never be able to meet his burden under the third prong of the McDonnell-Douglas shifting framework. The other issue brought forth by appellant is that the court was resolving factual issues, and that's not the case. Actually, the district court, when you read the order, viewed all of the evidence, the totality of the evidence, and even addressed some of those issues that they've been raising today and before you. And by looking at the affidavits that they provided, as well as some of the inferences provided by Mr. Jackson, the court reasoned through those and were able to determine what were material facts. What were the facts that were actually going to be determinative of the outcome of this case? That's what's material, not some outlying conclusory statements by former employees, but actual evidence that is contradictory, admissible, and that would lead to a reasonable inference. And I think that's what I would ask this court to look at, would be reasonable inferences in what is actually a material fact. I think a lot of the information provided, they indicate that, that these are triable issues, but they haven't shown what's triable. What are the material issues at fact? I think the court looked through all of that information and were able to reason through all of that and find that Mr. Jackson would not be able to meet his burden even with all of these facts.
I think it's difficult in summary judgment cases such as this where, you know, the law says the court's not supposed to weigh the facts but determine whether there are facts in dispute. And so it's your position there weren't facts in dispute?
Not material facts. I mean, they're trying to make some dispute of fact. However, when you look at the actual material facts, there's no dispute. The Douglas County provided evidence to support its legitimate non-discriminatory reason, and then the burden shifted to Mr. Jackson to provide contradictory evidence that would lead to any reasonable inference, and that's not the case. The district court reasoned through all of the information that was provided to it and came to the proper conclusion. Again, I would say it's what reasonable minds would come to. It's not asking the court to jump to conclusions and come up with an inference based on just conclusory statements with no evidence behind them. I think that when the burden shifted to Mr. Jackson, that was their opportunity to provide evidence to support their facts, and they didn't. They didn't provide any data to support a racial climate of against minorities. They're asking you to ignore the hirings of Mr. Jackson from outside of the health department to his management position. They're asking you to ignore Dr. Figg's hiring. So it's not that there aren't minorities in management, but they want you to jump to that conclusion that there's something against that within the health department. And that's not the case. We would ask you to affirm the decision of the district court.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
How much time do we have?
There is 2 minutes and 7 seconds left for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you.
Your Honor, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said with the evidence presented here, at the very least, there's an inference in this case, especially when there's dealing with a lot of circumstantial evidence. And we're not asking the court to jump and make conclusions or connect dots that are not there, but we are asking for a trial on the issues based on the standard and case law. With respect to what is on the record, there are material disputes on the record, Your Honor. With respect to the transcript, I think it's at 212 and 262, where it specifically speaks to an internal audit process that was used out of the blue to hire Mr. Tim Kelso. And at other times when there's not candidates within the organization that can be hired, there will be external postings. And then again, at other times, as noted in the affidavit presented on behalf of Mr. Jackson on the record, when you do apply and if you're not considered a proper candidate at that time, then they can close the position on you and then repost it, and then you need to reapply. With all these inconsistencies, there's really no need to force a connection of dots, Your Honor. We believe that the connection of dots are there, especially when you're considering the minor issue, or I wouldn't say minor, but the focused issue of summary judgment. At the very least, there needs to be a trial on these issues. And at the end of that trial, if the evidence is not sufficient, then so be it. But it's too early to say that the factors and the burden that shifted to Mr. Jackson, that he did not prove that. I think at the very least, when looking at the facts most favorable to Mr. Jackson, the facts are there. This case needs to proceed to trial in the interest of justice. Thank you, Your Honors.
I have one more question. So yes, do you think the evidence of possible discrimination in other departments within the county is telling of discrimination within Mr. Jackson's department?
Not in and of itself. I think it's similar to the question from earlier. I think it speaks to the overall culture that is happening. And I think that in that culture, whether they kind of have the specific intent for it to happen right then and there or not because of the practices, the ad hoc practices that are happening. At the very least, the inferences that should be given to Mr. Jackson is enough to cross over that summary judgment hurdle when looking at everything in total, including the inconsistencies, the pre-meeting that was done with the prior candidate, and other things that's on the record, which I would defer to.
Well, let me just ask you a question. Wasn't, and if I'm recalling the evidence wrong, please correct me. You're talking about the pre-meeting. Are you referring to the first interview or to a conversation that occurred some months before?
Referring to a conversation that occurred months before.
Then I understand your argument. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Matter is submitted. Thank you both. Yes. Okay, the next case, 190156 and 190157, that's Bailey and Sharp versus MBC Construction.